everybody, and welcome to Game Slackers on 101.5 UMFM.
Whoops. It's a radio station.
It's a radio station. Are you contaminating our sound booth with outside sounds?
Yes. Contamination.
For shame.
I know. It relates to the video game I'm playing.
That's, you know what?
Contamination, not any of those sounds.
Oh.
Hey, we're a video game radio show.
We are
Game Slackers.
We are
on the radio.
On the radio. That is what we do. And I am Megan.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I'm Alice.
Yes, because we never introduce ourselves, and we should do that. So people are like, these two voices are unique, but...
That one's Megan, and this one's Alice.
The mature, suave one is Alice.
What? Okay, sure.
I was being nice.
No, I know, but I'm just like...
You only get one.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate it. I'll keep that forever.
So yeah, we play a whack of video games, and we like to talk about video games, and we like to talk about the video game industry.
And how we love to hate to love video games.
Oh, it consumes so much of my life. I wish I could sleep.
Yeah, yeah. I wish I could sleep knowing that the people who make these games also have a good time sleeping. But I know that they don't because they are overworked. Which leads to that. That's a really good segue. I segued good today.
You did segue good. Okay. It just is very sad.
It is.
So
this happens. This is happening more and more. Well, this is good.
If this keeps happening, we may eventually get video game developers and producers getting the rights that they deserve. So Riot Games, makers of League of Legends.
Yeah, very popular.
Very, very popular. Is employees are walking out today in response to lawsuits. In particular, five lawsuits calling them out on unequal pay.
Yeah, and I would say, like, sexual harassment in the workplace and stuff like that. Just in general harassment in the workplace that I think a lot of women and, like, non-binary people who work at Riot have to deal with. And, yeah, it is really interesting considering I think we've sort of known about Riot's practices for the last year or so, probably. Those who work at Riot obviously probably either know or don't know about it, but, you know.
So there was an inequality of pay against the whole, this is something I'm going back to.
Yeah.
Where California, where this is located, has laws to make sure that women and non-binary people make the same amount on par with male employees.
Yeah.
This was a big point that they brought up, was like, you're not paying us the amount that we deserve to be paid. This is going to bite you. We made a bro culture here that not all of us are comfortable with.
Yeah, and obviously, well, not obviously, but I think it's maybe not well known that, like, now at this point, women who play games make up for more than half of those who play video games now. So... That is a huge video game market. That's half of the more than half of the population or half the population.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it would make sense. And I'm going from what like AAA video game places think, which would be to make money because that's what they want to do. So, making money by like opening up their games to the other half. You know, another half of population, it would be smart, right? It would be wise, financially speaking. You know, it would be good for, you know, women too, but, you know.
Don't cater to just half an audience.
Well, it's just...
Not less than half an audience.
It really doesn't make sense in the long run, especially since video games is an industry. We know that a lot of big video game companies they're there to make money. That's what they're doing. They know that every year they'll make a soccer, hockey, football, basketball, race car game that people will buy. And for us Canadians, it is like $80 plus tax, which is $90. So we pay almost $100 for a new game when new games come out. Now, once again, these sort of sports games, they come out every year. We know this. Like, It's been a while since, like, I think the 90s or maybe even the 80s.
Oh, it's been way longer.
Well, yeah. Just in sequence, like, you know, like NHL 89, NHL 90, NHL 99. Like,
it's just the same game plus.
Yeah, yeah, just the same game but with different characters. Like any other video game. But, you know, these, and they make money. They know they make money, so they make one every year. Yeah, because people want to play as their favorite sportsmen's.
And this is generally targeted just towards men.
Well, mm-hmm. Yeah, or people, yeah, guys. Yeah, I would say that's pretty good because they do definitely, or I would say probably yes, because, yeah, that's probably the majority that's buying those games.
Now, when you look at these games, when they are discounted for like $3 at your used game store from just last year or 2 years before.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Like, mm-hmm. they drop in price like as soon as the next one comes out, which
they
makes
devalue
sense.
Worse than a car.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. People, yeah.
Which, by the way, you can get any volume of FIFA.
Yeah.
No, wait, that's soccer.
I don't know. Hey, man. It doesn't matter to me.
The other one that starts with F, that's also cars.
Football.
Thank you. So, yeah. Riot Games, they're starting their walk out as of May 6th. We give them support.
Yeah, I hope that this does change the atmosphere and attitudes, especially since, like, the CEOs at Riot are trying to sue the people that are, like, trying to walk out for, you know, wanting equal pay and not to be harassed, which is silly. Don't do that.
Again, that goes against so many of the equality acts that California has in place for these situations. Exactly.
True. But Riot also has a development studio in Vancouver, which I would assume does not have the same laws, because as fun as we are in Canada, we are not good to the animation industry or the video game industry in terms of, like, the benefits or unions or whatever, because there is none.
We could just, you know, bring out a whole big support for the 100th year anniversary of the General Strike of 1919 and do, like, big old video game General Strike of 2019.
Yeah, no kidding.
And instead of tipping a streetcar over, we would
tip computers over? Servers over? No. I'm we like, need that's those. So much information. I was like, no, we need that.
You know what? For one property damage thing, we'll flip over one bench.
Okay.
Wow, with a video game advertisement on it.
Yeah. I wonder. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
That's good enough, right?
I guess so.
We play video games. We're not that strong.
Well, I was just like, okay, okay. Why are we flipping things?
Because they flipped over a streetcar in 1919. Have you not seen that giant picture of, like, the huge streetcars that are, like, huger than the buses that we have now? Huh. A whole bunch of people are just pushing it over as part of the general strike. It's an amazing picture.
Oh, I actually haven't. Okay.
Guess what I'm showing you later.
I was like, I guess recreate it, but with video games. We can just recreate it in a video game. That would be kind of more fun.
We'll flip over a smallish size car.
In the video game.
In a video game.
Yeah.
All right. So, also in the line of games that I have finished finally.
What's that?
I finished Night in the Woods at long last.
Oh, yeah.
So now my score is up to 5.
Yeah, I guess so, that you actually finished a video game that you got a really long time. Well, when it, 2 years ago-ish, is when Night in the Woods came
yeah,
out.
Yeah, it took me long enough
it's
to
okay.
finally get.
Well, Weird Autumn Edition didn't come out until the October of 2017, so, you know, whatever. And I, to be honest, haven't finished the Weird Autumn Edition, although I have beat Night in the Woods like 3 or 4 times just separately before the Weird Autumn Edition came out. So there's, like, a bunch of new stuff that I've already noticed that is new and different as I've played it, which is really nice. I like it. I like that it was a free DLC, especially since mm-hmm. you bought it.
Yeah.
The game.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So now that's finally off my list of games I need to beat. So now I gotta go and find me a new game to go and beat.
Good job.
I don't know what it is yet, but I'll come back to you later.
Wow, Megan.
I have many games I need to beat.
That's okay. You'll get there. You're slowly going through the list now.
I might actually beat Dragon Age someday.
Which one?
Inquisition. The only one that I played.
The only one that... Okay, that's funny.
Before the fourth one comes out.
Oh, no. Don't know about that, Megan.
You don't think I'll beat it?
No, I don't know if it's coming out, Megan.
There, I have all the time in the world to beat it now.
Yeah, I guess so, since it's never coming out. That's a speculation for another time, but I'm a little worried about that. Also, I knew I would be worried when a new Anthem wouldn't do well. Anyway,
so we did end up buying two games over the weekend.
Two in the form of one.
Okay, I bought three games over the weekend.
What other game did you buy?
I went and spent money on Rainbow Moon.
Oh, right. I don't know if this is worth mentioning because I feel you didn't like it, nor was it worth buying. And it doesn't have the charm or enjoyability of that PETA game you once accidentally, you didn't buy, but you downloaded because of just how absurd it was. Because it was just you're having a normal conversation and then bam.
PETA messages.
Sheep murder fact.
Rainbow Moon is exceedingly cheap and there's reasons. Okay, on to the next thing. We went and got...
good. On to a game that worth mentioning.
Zero Escape.
Yeah, so the Nonary games, which are, I think, the second and third or something like that, or the first and second. But they are a series of sort of, what is it, escape room puzzles? They're basically...
That would be the exact thing I would call it, as an escape room puzzle.
They're escape room games plus a gigantic
visual novel?
Yes, gigantic visual novel. Like, more than half of it is visual novel, which isn't bad because it's all nicely voice acted. I'm currently playing the Virtue's Last Reward, which I believe is the last one, but I had heard about this one previously. Several friends of mine have played it and you should play it, you'd like it. And so I've always sort of been interested, but I never got around to it. It originally was for the DS, 3DS sort of thing.
Which we're seeing a lot of these formerly touchscreen DS games being remastered and released onto other platforms, especially the PlayStation 4, because we also did see Phoenix Wright released recently as a trilogy.
Well,
those were advanced games, were they not?
Yes. No, not advanced.
They were still DS?
They were DS games. Okay, thank you. I was like, they were advances and they were harder? Kinda, I guess. No.
Everyone forgets the Game Boy Advance.
I remember it, but only because I had the DS where you could put advanced games in. Anyway, this is from a series called 999, which I believe is like 9 people, 9 hours, 9 doors, or some variation of that. Which is literally like... Sort of, I want to say they're like the movie series Saw, which obviously is not for children, although I saw it when I was young, and I was like, I didn't enjoy it. I'm not going to lie to you. Like, I didn't gain much out of it.
So it's very much in that similar vein.
Yeah, where basically there's a bunch of people, they're put in some random place, and they sort of have to do things like puzzles, escape rooms, or they will die. Basically, that is the gist of the game. This one's pretty interesting, and I have no idea how the others are, but this one has an exceedingly large amount of roots and stuff, but this game, obviously, you have to play it multiple times. Yeah.
It gives you so many different paths that you can follow, and a lot of them end prematurely. Like, very prematurely compared to the other ones.
And... this is because you have to do other paths to do things to unlock it. Now, there's a pretty great story reason for this, which I love me a story reason for a mechanic. I don't really want to spoil it that much, and it's not like that big, but that is sort of, you do have to play it multiple times. There are multiple endings. There's an ending for each character, and there's 9 characters, as I said before. I don't believe this has anything to do with 9 hours. It has to do with these 9 points they get. They have fancy wristwatches that if you try to leave, or if you try to take the watch off, or if you try to, or if you get below a certain number of these points, it will inject you with poison and you'll die. That's basically.
Yeah, it's very dark.
It is. Like, I will say that one of the first people who I knew who played this game was like a 13 or 12 to 13 year old. So, and she loved it. And I was like, oh, man, I got to play it. I will say it's obviously, you know, I would say it's a PG game, PG teen.
13.
Yeah.
Definitely PG 13. I wouldn't say PG.
There is, yeah, there is swears. There is some blood. There isn't that much, like, violence, though, because it is very visual novel-y. And the main character who you play as, his name is Sigma, and he narrates most of it. He doesn't have a voice, which kind of annoys me because literally everyone else does, and he's talking to people, but it's fine.
Yeah, and it looks pretty neat. Some of the character designs are a bit weird.
It is literally that era of video game. Like, this is very much in the genre. Like, I almost think it's Danganronpa is around this similar time. Just the fact that Danganronpa didn't come over here till like 5 years after it was released, I believe. Like, it wasn't translated. The way that I read, watched whatever Danganronpa was, I found somebody did a fan translation. It wasn't even videos. It was like screen caps, and they would put text, and I would read it. So it was a little bit weird of a way to read, but I've read all of Danganronpa. I don't know.
It's got a really solid fan base.
It does. And this one is, I feel, very similar, and it's interesting. Like, I know that this is a popular game series. Like, there are at least three, like, Virtues, Last Reward, like the 999 Zero something series, but they're, yeah.
Zero Escape.
They are pretty popular. They haven't come back in any way, I don't think. I think sort of the people have gone on to do different things, I believe.
And one of the main publishers of this is actually a publisher of one of your favorite games, which is Deadly Premonition.
DP, yeah, my favorite, the director's cut, which is great. I will say it feels very much around that era, like that mid-2000s era, and it is the hallmark. You can see it in the character designs. You can see it in the dub and the writing. Like, I'm kind of wondering if if I change it to the Japanese language, it would be different in what they say, or if they actually, because there's a lot of sort of dated references.
Yeah.
Like, very much like Lord of the Rings, when Lord of the Rings was popular. Well, it is popular all the time, I feel. But, you know, when the live-action movies came out, and they make direct references to stuff like this. They just make references to a lot of stuff, and it feels very of that era. Which
it does not age nearly so well when you're like,
no,
oh,
which is
this
kind
is
of
10 years
like
ago.
This is kind of like, I have a couple complaints, but that's maybe my biggest one, is because it just feels like I can compare it with sort of the dub of Persona 4. I can compare it with anime of that time. Like, it's just very like that. And it's fine, especially like even in the character designs. And yeah, it feels like almost a little bit of toned down version of Danganronpa, because I feel that one's even like that one's pretty. A little more brutal.
Danganronpa was a PlayStation
Vita,
yes.
Yeah.
But it never made it to the DS system.
No,
was probably why, because Nintendo wouldn't allow Danganronpa.
Yeah, that's a really good
at that
point.
Time.
Yeah, and sort of, it's too bad, because, yeah, obviously we would have only had PlayStation 3.
But they also, at times, wanted to be a little edgier, because a lot of the games that they had of the puzzle era were very cutesy or very mild, where we had Professor Layton at the same time,
mm-hmm.
who was a Sherlock like character.
Yeah, I played like two Professor Laytons. I'm bad at them.
We had Brain Age at the same time, which kind of kicked off this whole puzzle game situation.
But then also this weird self-help stuff. Like, I feel it branched off into those two.
But it had to be there before we got to any, before seeing the DS as something that could be used as a puzzle format instead of a platforming
format. Yeah, well, I think there was quite of, like, a lot of cool puzzle games. Like, the one that I really think of a lot is, I think it's, like, Hotel Dusk.
That's the one I was trying to think of. Yeah. You were really big into that one for a little while.
It was really cool because you would use your DS instead of the regular handheld format. You would hold it, I guess, sideways, like you would open book.
Mm-hmm.
And you were a detective in this as well. I forget the guy's name, but it was great. The style was sort of, it is very visual novel-y / point and click. And you're sort of a detective in this hotel and you're sort of trying to figure stuff out. And you use your DS sort of as your detective's notebook.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved the fact that you could use your DS as something other than the way they had it. Like, I loved when they innovated with the DS. Like, that was so cool to me at the time.
It's not something you can really do with any handheld system now. And I'm wondering now what they would have been able to do with the DS that made the Nonary game so cool. Because we had it for the PlayStation 4. This is how we got this.
Yeah. I can tell you, like, I've seen screen caps, and it would basically be you would have your screen of the top screen would be the scene. Mm-hmm. So if I was looking at a set of pipes, and then below would be the puzzle where you interact.
Right.
Which is pretty good idea. Like, I will say one thing I kind of find annoying is the fact that I can't use the touchpad to move around on this game, which I think would be a little easier than the joysticks.
Yeah.
That's, you know, it's a minor thing. Some of the controls are whatever, but ultimately I really am enjoying this. I like there's an ability to, like, extreme fast forward, which for me is amazing,
especially when you start accidentally giving me trophies by mistake.
Yeah, which is really fun. I started the game on Megan's thing, and then I went to go start my game again later, and I was like, what? Whoops. But it's not the biggest, like, deal, because it has this really neat, you actually have to turn it on, which is interesting. I didn't turn it on at first, but it's like an auto or a skip, and it just goes through a bunch of stuff really fast, which is handy because you will find yourself going through scenarios multiple times, and they talk a lot. This is it's a visual novel, and once again, it's all, like, primarily mostly voice acted, which I love. Fantastic. And I don't really, once again, don't hate the voice actors. Like, none of them I really hate.
The Brabbit.
Oh, you're right. The main character, or the main
villain
mascot, which is so, it follows in that line of, Teddy from Persona 4, where he makes everything bear puns. And I feel in the Japanese version, it might be a little more endearing because his name is Kuma. And I think there's a little more cute puns to do with that. But I also personally didn't like Teddy's voice in Persona 4. So the rabbit reminds me of that plus Gurr from Invader Zim.
Yeah.
Which I don't think is a great combination. I think maybe separately, fine, okay. But yeah, the rabbit, he's called Zero the Third. I'm not a fan of him. I love the design. I think it's super cool. The rabbit is annoying, and I skip the parts where the rabbit talks. Thank you, skip function.
Thank you, skip function.
Like, honestly, I'm so excited to find that function. Like, it makes 100% sense, though, within the game to be able to do this, because it's visual novel, and once again, you have to go through stuff.
And some stuff you just want to get right past. You don't need to see it again and again.
I don't need them to talk for 40 minutes about what they're going to do. I just want to watch. I'm just like, let me just get to the part where I do a puzzle, please. And the puzzles are really good. You do have a easy versus hard option, which you can turn on and off. They are a little harder, but they're like pretty enjoyable puzzles. I don't like the math ones, so I cheat for those. I'm not good at math or mental math, and I don't want to get out a calculator for a video game. I'm not about that. Megan, would you?
Give it the good old college try.
Okay, that's
good. And then give up and start looking it up.
And then be like, "Where? Let me just find." I think it's really interesting. I like trying to figure out a story this way, especially because you're not given that much. You're not given every piece of information by the endings. And obviously there's a couple like dozen endings where you die or just like game over, which I've got. And I sort of wanted to get them just to sort of have my timeline complete. So I just let my character die for my completionist's sake. But it's fine. Comes back.
See, there you go. Like a cartoon character.
Like a cartoon character. I'm here to do another scenario. It's pretty, it's an interesting game.
Is there at least a scenario where everybody survives?
I don't know, Megan. I was like, I believe so. I think maybe. There's probably one certain good ending, probably. There's probably the fake out good ending, which is like the sort of good ending that's like, but actually go and get all of the crystal coconuts and all of the bananas and all of the Kong letters. And then you get the super secret ending.
There you go.
That's basically how it goes.
Everybody should always aim for the secret Kong ending.
Yeah, I know. So I'm pretty sure. And obviously there's endings based on each individual character as well.
Mm-hmm.
So there's one character who's named Alice who has a terrible outfit. But
it's
actually
not really even an outfit.
No, it's just bad. I hate that. But she's actually pretty cool in the end. And I like that at first I hated her because she was mean to me. But now it's fine because I sort of know more of her backstory after playing several scenarios. So I'm like, okay, it's fine that you betrayed me that one time. I'll forgive you.
Because you weren't being rational, and also you hit the wrong button.
And also, what are you wearing? Yeah, but it falls into that.
Young lady, go put on a shirt.
Literally. It's not bad, though. I'm enjoying it. It actually makes me kind of want to play the other game, and I wasn't planning on it. I was just going to be like, I'm just going to do the one that I know is decent.
Well, I think they bring back a lot of the characters from the original to show up in the second.
Interesting.
So now if you...
Oh, yeah, that would be cool.
Okay, so there you go. Now you have to play a second one.
Yeah, and then I'll go backwards and maybe find the first one.
There you go.
The end.
All right, so yeah, playing the Nonary games.
Yeah, Virtue's Last Reward, pretty cool for the PlayStation 4. It's also for the 3DS. You can still get it, I know that. But it's like $40, which this was like... 13.
On sale as of
and
May
two,
7th.
Two games. Yeah.
Two games. As of May 7th, and it's actually pretty comparable to the $40 version for one game for the 3DS.
Yeah.
It wasn't too terribly bad anyway.
Break the bank.
And if you ever want to check out more puzzle games for the DS, there's a bunch out there. Layton's, mm-hmm. Ace Attorneys, we got Scribblenauts.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Oh, I want to check out Ghost Trick someday.
Oh yeah, that's good one.
That's also supposed to be in...
Yeah, it's supposed to be good.
All right, everybody, that's everything we got for you for this week. Y'all keep slacking.
Goodbye.